You're ready?
It's on. All right, so let's call to order the Thursday, November 13th, 2014, regular Planning Commission meeting. First order of business is to the approve of the minutes of the October 9th and 23rd meetings. Do I have a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve it.
Second.
Brendan, and second by Dick. Any comments, changes, questions? Okay. All in favor then?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes are approved. Next item is public comment on non-agenda items. So anybody out there that wishes to just speak on anything that we're not going to cover on our agenda tonight, now is your chance. Anybody? Okay. Recognize. And please state your name and address for the record.
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you, Gary. Travis Bridgman in North Bend, 713 Ogle Avenue, Northeast. And just visiting here on an ongoing basis, I find it favorable the direction that committee's going, commission's going. I like the visual aids. It seems like people are chiming in and kind of taking ownership of your positions and sharing your hearts and gathering information from your neighbors. Since we all live kind of diversified around the community, it feels like it's turning into a solid representation for the planning. And then just to chime in, a special note from one of our citizens. They'd like to recognize that it's really our industry's built on trains, even though it's just tourism now, but we really, anytime we can frame around the trains and have like cool trains, it really brings people down and puts them, that's something we can all get together, old people, little people, people our age. So just to do more at the train station, make it pretty, you know, it's a really huge representation. A lot of people go right by the train station. And E.J. Roberts Park has a good plans to be getting really spruced up. So it's just a good chance with all of our development to make it touristy and fun and you know, united. So thank you.
Thank you, Travis. Mike, I don't know, you were on the Parks Commission. Wasn't there a plan at one time to have some trains there?
There is, yeah. On the Parks Capital Facilities Plan, the Parks Commission added providing a shelter building. So similar to what you see down in Snoqualmie covering the log pavilion. So they have a shelter that would house a movable train artifact. So it could be a locomotive, it could be a train car. It's something that does bring additional interest in some of the railroad history to our depot as well, since Snoqualmie has a lot of that.
Great.
So, well, thanks. Depending on obtaining funds for it.
And I think, go along with that too, what was in the paper just this week, the artistic rendition of what's going to happen to that, to the neighborhood, close to the train tracks. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be able to tie in train activity with that.
Plaza improvements?
Plaza, yeah.
Yeah, the Parks Commission also provided some amendments to the intersection or the end of Ballarat there, so that the right now it's just kind of dead ends and there's this wall of trees and shrubs, so you can't actually see into the park from Ballarat. And what the recommendation is to redo some of the landscaping there, create more of a plaza crossing of the tracks, so that you can more enter fully into the park from there rather than having it walled off.
Great. Okay. Anybody out there, else out there, wish to speak?
Just on the front of the train station, that's where we hold our scout meetings all the time. I'm there very often in the evening time. The evening time is a very different time than the train station in the daytime. It's a problem area. So there would be a benefit to the community to improve that area. And
you know, Encompass once met there for years.
Pardon?
Encompass went and used the train station for years,
yes,
in the 80s for their board meetings.
And I'm sorry, could you state your name and address?
Cindy Hackerl, last name spelled H-A-C-H-E-R-L, and I live at 47520 Southeast Mount.
Well, thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. All right, so we'll close the public here, or the public comment on non-agenda items, and move on to item number four, the land use element follow-up. So, Mike, you want to start us off?
Sure. So, at the last Planning Commission meeting, the Planning Commission guys did a fantastic job getting through all the dots that you created earlier on the zoning map and coming to consensus on almost all of those. We had two of them that required follow-up. So the first one was that consideration of rezoning the high-density residential zone south of North Bend Way and north of I-90 to downtown commercial. That was from Jim Lucky's dot, and Planning Commission considered it at the last meeting but didn't come to a conclusion, so we need to come back and finish that one up tonight. The second one was the amendments to the cottage residential zone from Gary's earlier dot to consider allowing high-density residential in that area, possibly with ground floor commercial, which would be a change from the existing zone. So the intent tonight is to wrap both of those up, because what we need to do is we've got our hearing at the next meeting, December 11th, I think it is. And in order to notice the people of the potential amendments, we need to be able to resolve which properties are affected to be able to get those notices out. So wanted to just we can start off with the high-density residential one.
Okay. So, Mike, the questions that we want to answer about high-density residential, is it the borders or what's in yeah, scope and out of scope of the change?
It's both. So Jim Lucky's recommendation, he drew on the map at the last meeting, the red line, basically just including all of the high-density residential zone. He included some other properties as well that I'm not sure if it was his intent to include those with the rezone to DC. So wanted to give a little bit of background on this that I don't know if we discussed much of at the last meeting. So it was 2 years ago through the docketing process, the Planning Commission made an amendment to the properties along Park Street that are zoned high density residential to create a limited commercial overlay district. And what this district does is it allows certain commercial uses that are of a lower intensity nature. So dentist's offices, doctor's offices, attorneys, things that are not of a retail, higher intensity, higher traffic impact that might fit into the character of the neighborhood and not create an overly commercial feel. So Planning Commission passed that, or recommended that to council. Council passed that. That became effective. During that conversation, the Planning Commission had asked, well, why don't we just make it DC at that time? When we were considering that, making it DC would have been a comprehensive plan amendment rather than just a rezone, which was more involved. So the solution was, let's just do it through an overlay district, but that question remained. So following that, last year we had a docket provided by staff that asked, do you want to deal with this now that we're opening the comprehensive plan? Shall we just change this to DC on Park Street? So Planning Commission took up the docket. It was noticed to the public, to property owners on this street here that were affected, and as well as 300 feet around that. And at the time, we got substantial, or not, I don't know how what's considered substantial, but we got a number of comments from people living on Park Street that were opposed to this. They were afraid of losing the character, the residential character of the street, and
parking,
afraid of additional parking and traffic impacts. So the same question would apply then if you want to reconsider that. That's something the Planning Commission will just have to consider, and staff will notify properties at your recommendation. But from the staff perspective, we really don't see the need to reopen it, given that we already largely know, at least on Park Street, what the public input was on that.
And you said that was just 2 years ago?
That part of it was last year. So 2 years ago is when we changed it to allow some commercial uses on Park Street. The other factor is the supply of affordable housing within the city. So multifamily housing in particular, which generally is more affordable, is allowed in the downtown commercial zone and in the high-density residential zone, as well as the neighborhood business zone. So while it is allowed in the downtown commercial zone and would still be allowed, therefore, if you were to change that, there's a lot of other uses in the downtown commercial zone that aren't multifamily that then would compete with the ability to provide multifamily on these properties if these were to rezone to DC. So that could diminish the supply of future multifamily housing in the future.
So if I remember, a lot of the objections were about traffic and parking. That would be hampered by more development of the area. I think, you know, when you have multifamily development and some of the newer models that they address parking on site, and that, of course, becomes a problem with how low you can go in our downtown area underground, being that the water table is quite high or shallow. So I don't know, you know, how creative it can be if it's downtown commercial, which provides for mixed use, right? You can be commercial and you can be residential above. Mm-hmm. So I'll open up to the commission with their thoughts and their perspectives.
Well, two questions. Can you first remind me how many properties that we're talking about that would be affected? Because I remember all the public conversations. Just this zone is the sweet zone, right? So
everything that you see in the pink there.
Yeah. No, how many is that?
Oh, the properties?
Yeah.
More than that. It's covered up by the sticker. Oh, okay.
And so some of these are vacant lots here with apartment complexes. Yeah. Already have condos.
Yeah.
In place here, and down this particular zone, there are a few.
A lot of single-family homes that would eventually convert to something else.
Yeah, and then these areas down here are larger lots. Mm-hmm. That I think
these are condos back here.
Is that
that's the outside apartments?
Oh, that's right. So here's the side view part, and then here are the condos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the transition.
Yeah. And so and the reason why I bring that up is some of this area has already have development on it, so you know maybe we should consider that, right? Especially with the condos here, there's a vacant lot that's still available for commercial use here in the Ace Hardware area. Those businesses are struggling for the most part, right? They come and go. So that leads me to my next question: is what it has been the push as far as permitting or just activity for more downtown commercial usage? And why I mean that is, are we running out of space that we already have that we need to consider some of these arterial areas to help accommodate some of that growth if, in fact, there's a lot of that on the table? Trying to outweigh the public concern versus the need for that stretch.
Use is hard to determine because it's just a case-by-case basis,
right?
When somebody wants to do something on the property.
Mm-hmm.
Recent downtown commercial development was the Bartels. We've had interest but not action yet on some different multifamily projects within the downtown commercial zone.
But within the already established zone, right? That space could accommodate that interest.
Yeah, there's a lot of redevelopment potential downtown, a lot of smaller, older homes that as they age and
right.
reach the end of their functional life, then something else would likely replace them. That would be a commercial or multifamily nature.
So if we expand it to the DC area here, will it inhibit or promote any other growth that we're trying to concentrate down here?
Yeah, that's one of the concerns that we have as staff is spreading out commercial too far.
Mm-hmm.
So if you allow commercial down here, for instance, where there's no commercial already, that commercial use that goes there is not then going in here where it could be a synergy to other commercial uses to provide more of a... Mm-hmm.
And just food for thought, we're also doing overlays in between these comp plans amendments if we don't plan sufficiently for the capacity.
Right.
And thinking about how many more units we're going to have in the next 2 years, what about in the next 7 years? And what would our commercial need be at that point?
Yeah, and please remind me, I can't remember what our cadence is on coming back to our comp plans. Is that every 5 years?
It's 8 years.
8 years, okay. Yeah, so just that line of questioning, I guess, gets to the points that are just coming to my head. Is are we pushing growth potential into a different area where maybe it's not a benefit to our town? Are we disrupting the people who are already occupying that space in such a way that really the rezoning won't
benefit them anyway because they aren't going to move their buildings. They're going to continue to lease out or rent out the condos and the apartments that are here. Plus, the extended zone already is not showing very good, as far as I can tell, just being a resident, as promoting commercial usage. So when I consider those three points, I'm leaning more towards not extending the zone and sticking with exactly what you were saying with your food for thought, is that we can consider overlays as we go forward. That's just my two immediate cents. I'll step back.
Well, I guess just kind of on that note, I mean, being more familiar with the other side of the road, there's a lot of potential properties that could be enhanced, developed, or it would be nice to put that pressure over there, considering there are some that, you know, have a dentist office, or like the new, that's new anymore, eye doctor's office over on that side of the street. I mean, Second Street in particular has either vacant lots or just decrepit buildings that it would be nice to have that be the available option. Fill up what we have first before we start looking around the perimeter. Yeah. I can wait to have this question answered because it might be a little off track. But the currently, that yellow area right over here.
This one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, I see this red line here. Did we decide last time that we weren't going to?
I believe that was the planning commission consensus.
Cool.
I'm taking a deep breath on this one because I have the other opinion, Brendan, about I like to look 20 years out and try to remember what the area north of North Bend Way was like. I remember it being a lot more vibrant than it is today. I see a lot of activity that was considered to be potentially going somewhere or not. And I think the downtown North Bend area is not being grown because it gives the impression of a lot of years of wasted opportunity. And here's somebody say that, you know, our main downtown corner basically had two major empty buildings in it. And it doesn't invite the kind of investments that we need to have to show a vibrant interest in our core. And I think part of it is we haven't identified a large enough piece that shows some forward thinking. I'm not wedded to the idea of changing this all to DC, but I do think we need to be considering why is the area that we already have designated as DC not flourishing? What's wrong with that? What is it? Is it the transportation network we have there? Is it the lack of it? Is it not visible enough? What is it that is not drawing growth in the area that is poised for growth but is doing nothing? I just think there's no confidence that we have a plan for growing it. And so
I think one of the things that's key to any retail is to have a supply of residents nearby that want to shop at that retail.
Yeah.
And that may be something that we're lacking because over time our population is spread out. We've developed other commercial centers like the outlet mall and Safeway Center and so forth that are drawing those other residents to other areas. And at the same time, downtown hasn't had any residential growth to support downtown businesses. So the two really need to work together.
Just as someone who's been around for a while, we used to very easily be able to walk from what was then my grandparents' home near E.J. Roberts Park to downtown, and you'd go to the bakery, and you'd go over to Glaciers and pick up your school clothes. So I think the fact that we have had this issue with too many years of empty storefronts, that with any mall, they want a strong anchor store present. We don't have that right now.
Oh, yeah.
I think that we've been lucky that we have Boxley's, because it is beginning to draw a large number of people from actually around the world, interestingly enough, into our downtown, but there's not anywhere else for them to spend money. Mm-hmm. I got really excited, actually, when I drove through town and saw the big sign up on the old antique store that used to be a grocery store, yeah. Indicating that they were actually actively seeking an occupant in there that would be the kind of thing that a brewery.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're looking for a brew pub that might be interested in going in there. I think it would need a lot of work, but the building is big enough to handle something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that we have a little bit of momentum going. I do think one of the challenges for that downtown area is that we have many small lots. You have houses on them. You have people that don't want to let go of the houses. It's difficult to buy up enough space to really build a commercial building that's going to bring in the kind of revenue that people are looking for. So we've got two challenges, which is finally get something downtown on that main drag so when they come in, their introduction is not. And actually, interestingly enough, the building that looks vacant on the corner, the old model garage, is not vacant. It's actually now the international headquarters of a big company. But it still looks.
It looks.
They've improved it.
They're doing a lot of work.
Now see through the windows.
Right.
They also want to do some historic restoration on the building.
Right. I heard rumors of a Fort Culture grant. Floating around that's in the works. So excited to see that something's happening there so that maybe we can tell that it's actually an occupied building.
I was kind of hoping that would be the brew pub and restaurant.
I think it would have been an awesome brew pub. Cool. I know a lot about that building because I've researched the history of some of the buildings downtown over the years. And I actually think it would have made a great museum of the American Highway, which would have fit with downtown well, too. But you can't find anybody who's going to kick in money for something like that. You could park cars on the second level, for anyone who didn't know that. But if we can get some of that going, the issue is that we don't have that anchor store, if we want to call it that, for downtown North Bend. I have to go back to what we're discussing, which is this rezone to D.C. in that area. I admit that my concern right now, as I've been looking at it more, there's a lot coming down the pipeline on what's going to happen with the levees through that area. And I'm hesitant to encourage that kind of redevelopment and focus in that area for many reasons, one of which is what happens if someone goes in there and spends the money, and then we go, oh, by the way, we would really like that property to be able to make this happen in a way that's going to have downstream impacts, that's going to have more of an impact on the city in the long term in reducing flood hazard, which is going to affect everybody. So this, I'm kind of at a wait-and-see moment on that area, on really recommending or
so
doing things that would influence a lot.
Could I just clarify, are you then focusing on the lots that are closely bordering the river and
yes.
Not necessarily,
not necessarily
the overlaid area?
Exactly.
Or,
okay. And because I think that we have a general trend. If you go along Park Street, we have a lot of homes that have been purchased and are now occupied by businesses. Mm-hmm. It seems to kind of have naturally moved into what I would call that downtown commercial sense. But that area over there, for one thing, is an area that's been traditionally, at least lately, multifamily residential. And I get a little bit leery of any move we make to remove that. We have far too little of it anyway. And then when you add into that the fact that there's a big project underway right now that could, in fact, have some questions coming before the city council.
The
and
hotel.
The city. Well, I'm not even going to go there. Right now, I have different opinions about anything that changes the floodplain that tend to be come from a very personal perspective of dealing a lot with flood issues. We don't know what that impact's going to be, but it may end up being that if they need to do some major levee work, we're far more likely to have someone with an aging multifamily residential willing to sell their property for money versus someone who's just spent, a half a million, $1 million to build a new commercial structure in there. So I don't know, again, because I think that this idea, it's many things coming together. It's the fact that it does reduce the weight on that area that's already downtown commercial. It's concerns about what we're going to see in the next year or two in terms of changes to the levee system that will have benefits for everybody. And we're moving more multifamily residential from the pool that we have, which is so small anyway. So kind of three cons for me that we go up there.
It seems like we're trying to make a decision on an area that we don't have all the answers to. Because mm-hmm. I think this flood issue you're talking about trumps everything.
Mm-hmm. It has a big impact. And we don't know what that's going to look like because King County is working on the big study right now. And I don't think that they're looking to present on their potential solutions until January or February, mm-hmm. the last I heard.
Their primary focus is down here in this Clue-Lake
right.
area.
Right. But that is part of the... They're looking at it from that area clear through to Circle River Ranch because what our levee system is doing is resulting in water shotgunning out on the other end and causing more loss of property as it exits that tight kind of, if you imagine a really tight pipe, you're forcing the water through, it gets to the end and it goes everywhere. I'm just at a point right now where I want to see what comes out of that and whether or not they have any recommendations that would change the way we view that area. And then it just falls back on my concern about taking an area that's really, most of that area toward the river is multifamily residential. It's apartments, it's duplexes, it's small condos that are in the affordable kind of category because they were... used to be apartments and fourplexes that have been remodeled. So taking that out of our inventory right now just doesn't make sense until we see some other avenue for multifamily residential come somewhere else.
So sounds like if we were to move where Jim was putting his line for downtown commercial to include all properties that border Park Street, mm-hmm. then maybe the majority of us are good on that, which is the south side of...
So you're talking
the downtown? Yeah, so basically it would include just the overlaid portion.
Yeah. So again, though, think back to that was presented to the public previously.
Yeah.
You've received, on the same issue, think back to the comment that you received on that issue, if you want to recommend that again.
I'm going to say that I think it makes sense that if we're trying to create just a nucleus, what is developing now as mostly business and commercial uses along Park Street, what the question that hasn't been answered is downtown parking. And that doesn't necessarily have to come from a business. It could be, you know, a cleared lot that is now available, you know, and how can we maximize the park and ride lot? So little things like that we need to do for the downtown plaza, that parking. I think it's a comprehensive discussion about where people can park and shop. So I'm in favor of taking everything on Park Street and downtown commercial. I am confused of why we didn't include that little corner there, and it's
that
low
corner,
density residential.
Those are already apartments there.
Those are apartments, and the Planning Commission at the last meeting recommended that these also go to high density residential. So that forms
okay.
a cluster there of high density residential.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't know that was Marsh. Go ahead.
You mentioned that overlay area. You know, lawyers, dentists, that kind of thing. What other stuff does it exclude? Just retail?
What does it exclude? It's retail uses. It's uses that are of a higher intensity nature.
So is that where the auto body shop is excluded?
I know it's excluded. That's excluded, but I think from that whole zone.
Okay.
We've got a table of uses here. So right now, I don't have that section. So there's the code.
Find it faster than I can.
The limited commercial overlay districts intended to allow commercial uses of a type and scale compatible with the multifamily high-density residential uses allowed within the HDR zone. Following commercial uses shall be allowed, in addition to those already allowed in the HDR zone. Art galleries, business and professional offices, personal services, beauty shop, dry cleaner, shoe repair, etc. studio, art, music, pottery, etc. Music, or mixed-use horizontal, commercial, residential, and medical dental.
Okay, so that's pretty.
So it's
pretty,
it's more of the retail restaurant, retail restaurant uses that wouldn't be allowed there.
Okay.
Which it seems to me along that park would be perfect for a restaurant, quite frankly, on that interior, especially going from the train depot, because.
I know that's not on the table, but this area here seems to be, especially since it's one of the few areas that we have more or less a park downtown, that would really facilitate foot traffic and exploration. We've got our trails there. That interior space on that other side, the north side of Park Street, would seem to be, to me, to be more inclined or better suited for either retail shops or restaurants, small little restaurants. And one thing that pops in mind, and I know we don't like comparing ourselves to Issaquah, but I think of Gilman Square area, where you have that mixed use of small restaurants, nice restaurants, casual cafes, with all sorts of different retail shops in there. It just seems to me that that would draw more of foot traffic into the area, which ultimately would draw more foot traffic into the downtown zone. But maybe that's for a later date. And then the opposite, the south side of Park Street is already has condos and those type of things there. So
am I hearing your recommendation to be to address the north side of Park Street then?
Yeah, if it,
in the DC zone.
Well, I'm saying north.
He's
and
saying
south.
The whole.
Okay.
You're saying south.
Well, if you're on Park Street, your lot is adjacent to or bordering, then change it to DC.
In the overlay.
Yeah. Basically, yes. The entire overlay would include it. So that's the south side. Are we doing anything on the north side?
Well, and the other thing, though, is that going back to your earlier point about having high-density residential in the downtown area does promote businesses and so forth. And so those are areas that are already set up for that. We already have infrastructure there. People coming into the area will see that and may see it as a like-usage space for them. So I don't know. To me, there's a psychological component to having one side being residential and another side being more downtown, cutesy, shoppy type stuff.
Well, I think in the downtown core, you can have a mixed use. So you can have the multi-family, right? And you could, and you could also do residential in downtown.
So maybe step one is, it sounds like we're all in agreement, like what you said, to shrink the zone to concentrate on just that Park Street area. You brought up a very salient point about the flood zones and what's going to happen with that. Plus, we have the park and other apartments and condos all sprinkled throughout that area around Sideview, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Planning Commission consensus on that, or still waiting for
consensus on?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Idea about limiting it on this Park Street.
Okay, so it's the recommendation then would be to change the limited commercial overlay district in this area on Park Street to DC.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And Mike, would that include this little piece right here, or is that multifamily?
That's the townhomes.
Okay,
so that's multifamily.
This is a huge complex. Yeah.
What about this to HDR?
That's correct. That was recommended by the Planning Commission at the last meeting.
And then, where did we come with the border on the north side?
Planning Commission at the last meeting decided not to address that.
Okay. Perfect.
All right, we got through one of two. The next one is the cottage zone. So we didn't come back with a specific staff recommendation on this because there's just a huge variety of things that you could do, and we wanted to just work through those with the Planning Commission. So we're looking at the area of the cottage zone between North Bend Way and Cedar Falls Way. Currently it allows cottages, and currently it allows up to 30% multifamily housing. That was previously 15%, I believe it was 15%, and the council, when they were considering the recent cottage amendments, increased that to 30%. So at the last Planning Commission meeting, based on Gary's dot, the Planning Commission was considering, do they want to add additional multifamily as a use with the potential for also ground floor retail below that multifamily? So
my thinking behind this zone, if I can just, if you look at high density residential, but you want it to have a commercial element to it, and I see exit 32, which leads to Mount Si and Little Si trails, as a great place to have some commercial activity, but also to provide some multifamily housing or affordable housing that is, you know, a good area that's access to trails, good access to hiking and to fishing. So, you know, it's, to me, a wonderful location. And my opposition to having cottage is that I want to use cottage as more of an infill or accommodating to get lots developed than I do want to take a swath of land and say, this should all be a cottaged area. So,
My immediate reaction to that is I think that we're going to end up with one of these situations where we're drawing a lot of foot traffic and business traffic down here away from our nucleus. That's just my gut thought on that. Having high density residential or multifamily homes in there, I then start thinking about the aesthetic nature of that, and especially if we go back to how we can try to push economic growth here. The other third thing to that is that I don't think there's any, apart from traveling up to Side View, there's no real parks within amenable foot traffic or with a realistic foot traffic that would be near those type of living arrangements, whereas you have parks here and here and here, right? And I think that's the federal land, right?
That's plenty of Ferguson
Forest Service, that's what I meant, yeah.
Were you referring more to Little Si, like the trailhead? Or?
Little Si and Big Si.
Actually.
Yeah, and that you're right along the route
park.
Here,
right
here.
Here.
Connect down
park.
The Middle Fork.
Yeah. On the river.
Yeah, that's a Tanner Landing Park.
Yeah.
So, I think exit 31 is one access to the city, exit 32 is another, and exit 34 is another one that we have. And what should each one be as a gateway into North Bend, and what kind of look and feel? And if you're going to hike at these two locations, Little Si and Big Si, that's the route you're taking.
It's the after that or the before that. And when I talk to cyclists or people that come out to this area, they go downtown to the bakery afterwards, or they go to the Barn Grill for a beer, or they stop to pick up something on the way to their ride or the way to the hike. So, you know, that's where I go back to my first concern would be drawing that type of business.
Or they jet out of town.
Which is fair enough, but people that are making a day of it that know what's down here, especially since we're trying to promote more growth in that area, that's just what I, you know, yeah.
So to break this conversation into manageable chunks, let's take it a couple steps at a time. So the first one is, if we want to address allowing multifamily housing, there's a couple of options to do that. So you could either leave it as cottage residential zone and increase that percentage of allowed multifamily. You could go from 30% to 50%. To 60%, that would be up to what the Planning Commission sees as appropriate. The other option would be to actually change the zone to high-density residential, which would allow 100% multifamily. And then the next step of the conversation is, if you want to see commercial allowed on the ground floor, there's a couple ways to do that as well. You could just allow it outright on the ground floor, or you could define clustered areas where you feel like it's appropriate via an overlay zone. Mm-hmm. I think from the staff perspective, we discussed this internally, and I think we were along the same thought as what you had, that we already have got kind of an oversupply of existing commercial, and we worry about providing additional commercial, taking away viability of existing commercial areas. Mm-hmm. There is the potential to do a lot of commercial across the street as well.
Yeah, and because that's already existing in that. Some of those, the hotel and all the, there's a motel or something over there, right? I don't know what it is, mm-hmm. but it looks like a motel.
Yeah.
sections.
It might have been at one point in its existence.
Yeah.
It was crew quarters many years ago.
So just to suggest, if you want to start discussing how do you want to address the multifamily first, and then from there we'll go to the commercial discussion.
Well, let me go back to my first question then. What sort of pressure or interest have you seen on the staff side, you know, permit-wise or just inquiries and so forth, to actually build that type of...
multifamily?
Yeah.
We've had a number of inquiries, particularly downtown, for doing multifamily.
And if they chose not to, what was dissuading them, if you have that?
I don't know. There was one, John Day Holmes had done one proposal downtown, but there was an oil issue. There was some kind of underground storage tank that had leaked that he was afraid to deal with. We just had a pre-application last week for a small multifamily, just like a fourplex downtown. We've got a cottage project that's somewhat in the works for that site right there. Other than that, can't think of anything in particular.
Any distractions towards any potential development if we were to change that zoning? Meaning, if there are people, would it impact any prospects in a bad way if we modified that zoning?
Depending on what you allow within that zone.
For the commercial part.
Yeah, right. If you were to change to high-density residential, for example, cottage zoning is already allowed. And let me confirm that. Yeah, you can do cottage residential in a planned neighborhood development, which means you've got a mix of different types of uses in the high-density residential zone. So to change this, high-density residential would allow what's already allowed there, plus other things. So it's an up zone. The council had considered whether or not they wanted to go higher than 30%, and they were concerned about maintaining a supply of small-scale single-family homes, affordable single-family in particular. So in their consideration of that, they didn't want to go beyond 30%.
Yeah, and then on that note, has there been any public comment or letters or anything about any potential rezoning in that area, either good or bad?
When this was originally for sale, before we had this pre-application for this cottage company, the owner had inquired about upzoning it to allow for more uses because he didn't feel like cottage was viable. Since then, he's had this prospective purchaser.
Looking to do cottage.
But his interest was to go the other way, to go to change it to single family.
So just as food for thought, if I'm looking at the city and I see our urban growth boundary and we have the additional 600 units built today, and then we have the rest of this area developed, which I'm not sure what you would want to refer to that as, but
you're talking about the constrained residential, the down zone of the...
Well, no, this is just all low-density residential here. So I'm thinking about if anything was going to be affordable, you know, would it be... And where do we have kind of the high-density but with some commercial usage or service kind of oriented things that... just don't exist, right? Until you're downtown.
Well, actually, anything that's in blue there, that's the neighborhood business zone that allows both residential and commercial uses. So you can do a mixed project in that area.
And what is the, what do you call it, floor?
The height limit?
Height limit.
35 feet. That's consistent for most of downtown, except for downtown, which allows 45 feet in some areas.
So that's two stories. So in high-density residential, we have three-story units today. And what's their limit? 65.
35 feet is the height limit to the midpoint of a peaked roof. So you could conceivably get three-story multifamily in that.
One of the things that we don't talk about is getting public transportation a little more organized in this area. If you're going to have high-density housing here, rather than thinking about a variety of commercial area to keep people needs taken care of, get them on a bus to go into the main core, and not drain off, you know, the small pickup items. I think the Snoqualmie Valley transportation has got a good start, but I'm thinking about some real-time metro buses that take everybody, you know, into the Bellevue hubs and so on. But this could be a public transportation situation, an opportunity. Both get us down here, and then out to the airport, wherever. And not worry as much about commercial uses on the lower level as we have been recently, but we're getting people just on the bus.
I only propose that because I think as a, you know, somebody that's looking at building something, and I look what's being put in downtown Redmond, for instance, mm-hmm. and that seems to be a preferred development method. So I'm thinking about what would a developer then want to invest in.
In Redmond, it's already gone through all those iterations. It's gone through the small downtown core, and now it has almost three or four pockets of high commercial right. usage. We're not there yet. We're still trying to get to that first solid core of commercial. I think that we promote that use by getting people easier into the area instead of grabbing a car, just grabbing a bus. And there are a lot of folks who might could afford to live out here if they were bus users. You know, they might come out in this area. They find apartments and homes they could actually afford. They would take their car in and basically trade it for a bus. We can hope for that.
But I think you bring up an excellent point about the evolution.
But I worry about this looking too much like 99, you know, Aurora sometime. Mm-hmm. What we're left with is a string of commercial businesses all along the street that have basically turned over three or four times as the growth occurred elsewhere. That's the way that area grew, but we know that can happen here. I think that we ought to try not to let that happen here and keep the commercials centered as we can in our town until we have serious opportunities to expand our commercial centers elsewhere. I'd like this to just not be siphoning it off. We've got truck towns. The nearest thing we have is to be a major magnet. And I think that's going to continue to grow that way, and I hate to see us divide those enterprises up with something in the center if we can find a way to avoid it.
It is challenging because if I look in the current downtown commercial or multifamily zones, there are no high-density residential zones. There's nothing in the lot sizes that exist there.
Yeah.
And unless we are to change some other LDR. So in the diversity of, you know, stock, yes, in cottage residential, you can do the 30%.
I think we need that. I mean, I do think we need that cottage. Environment down there. It's a perfect spot for it. You might have a burger joint nearby, but I would think about keeping the upscale restaurants and the other kinds of commercial activities towards the Red Center.
Mike, is the Tanner Junction MPOD the recent change that we did to that lot? Gentleman that owned it came in and wanted to do some multifamily on top of commercial.
Yeah, it allows for a mix of uses, multifamily, commercial, and industrial. With the multifamily and commercial focused on this little corridor right here, that would be a future connection road into the park, and the commercial would be focused on that road.
That's Tanner Landing. I'm talking about Tanner Junction.
Oh, Tanner Junction.
Sorry.
That allowed for residential and industrial. I used to do residential. I don't think it allowed commercial. Let me look that up.
Yeah, the approximately 350 feet of southern half of parcels, of the parcels in that overlay, may be comprised of HDR uses and or EP1 uses, except single-family detached cottage housing and senior housing is not allowed in this overlay. But it didn't allow retail uses or commercial uses generally.
Thank you for looking that up. I was just thinking for a second. Travis, did you want to make a comment?
Yes, please. Thank you, Derek. I just want to share one kind of envision in that area was to create the new zone, to make a commercial anchor base, go 5 stories, build homes for 1,700 residents. It's a unique spot. You can't build those developments in town because the space isn't there. You need a large, massive, huge chunks of space to build a massive complex, the housing, the stuff that people want to live in now. Sure, we're not evolved as Redmond, but people want to live in those buildings. And there's going to be so many more residents that flush out of there. They're going to use those businesses downstairs. And I'd like to go to some nice, fancy new places too, but they're going to be flushed out into the city. 1,700 new residents can fit in that block. Right now, they're all going to jump on the freeway because there's no jobs here. There's all this entertainment or employment park areas. As soon as we have that massive, dense residential, 5 stories high, just packed in there, brand new condos, then people can build the employment parks and people will start riding the bike to work. But to get to that point, to get to somebody to build a new factory here, we need to have that employee housing. Right now, they can jump on exit 32, exit 34 to get out of town. We can't have them all funnel through because this would be a way to really just make our resident occupancy level very high, make a sustainable area. And there's more areas to do it, but we could do this one and people would buy it right away. It needs to be a new zone though. It needs to be like targeted. This is what we want to build here and kind of mapped out. And I could see that just, it wouldn't be popular to everyone, but it would fill up, and that's the way to ignite the city to have industry that.
Thank you for your comment. Anybody else want to?
No, I mean, I guess what I'm stuck on is I like that idea, and I see the point of wanting to concentrate airplane business. We got to fill this up. At the same time, I feel like we do have a shortage of like the high density residential potential, but is that a good spot for it? I mean, those that typically live there, might have limited funds for transportation. If that's 2 miles from their potential jobs, are we doing anybody a favor with that? We have Suquamish Valley transit, but is that sufficient? What comes first?
Well, it's the chicken and the egg. Yeah. We have many employers that would like to move their businesses here, but there's no places for their lower-wage workers to live, right? Mm-hmm. And if we have zones that can address that and we can do some kind of co-development, that's part of the Economic Development Commission, they can broker those deals to have that cohesive development plan. I think... if I look 7 years from now and seeing how many overlays that we did in the last 4 years, I'm seeing this as, well, the need, yes, is happening elsewhere, but eventually it will get here. And here's the way I'd like to see ours develop, and not through overlays or augmented changes, but thoughtfully when we have the time to do it now. I'm looking at this block of land, and I see it as... a really good example of doing this large development piece, because you have North Bend Way on one side and you have Cedar Falls Way on the other. You could have store frontage nice and clean on North Bend Way. You could have parking and access for residents on the back side of it. You could have more businesses on the back side of it. You know, there's just so many things you could do. I believe I was stopping at 4 stories, not 5. Or, some mix of that. I see this as out of the floodplain. I see it as, you know, it's not a hidden location. It's, you get a view of Mount Si and you get a view of the Rattlesnake Ridge. You know, it's an attractive area that you could live in. So for me, somebody that's younger, not ready for a single family home, that would be somebody whose enthusiasm is for the outdoors, of going to trails, and this is hard. My sentiment is not to create another commercial zone, but it is to have the ability for that developer and that business interest to develop it in a way that they can make a profit in what's working for them in the market today. Mm-hmm. So, Mike, with staff's help, you know, does that look like anything that we have in an overlay today? And my concern was that it was a service-oriented kind of business venture. So I don't know if we already have something geared towards that.
Again, we've got the neighborhood business zone, the blue on the map, and that allows for both multifamily and commercial. So you could do that type of mixed-use scenario in that zone already.
So we could say it's neighborhood business. However, this zone must contain multifamily on top of it as a type of augmented overlay.
I think from the staff perspective, we still have a lot of concerns of expanding too much retail or too much commercial. You've got the commercial across the street already that's already undeveloped or underdeveloped. We've got areas, the Mountain Valley Center is struggling. They've got a lot of vacancies. The Ace Hardware Center is struggling. Downtown is doing all right, but not as vibrant as it could be.
Elizabeth, did you
ask? I am a bit conflicted on this one. I like the idea of having more multifamily residential. I think that it's being near a major, and this is kind of both a good thing and a bad thing. It's near a major thoroughfare. We do have an issue with public transportation in this area, and traditionally if we were actually talking about affordable housing, as in low-income affordable housing, four-year guy on the line in a factory, I don't know that that space would be really good. But I think what we're really talking about is your single person who's middle, bit higher above, and maybe wants to be close to outdoor recreation and is willing to pay a little bit more. So we're probably realistically talking about higher end apartments, mm-hmm. Or condo, mm-hmm. sort of situation, as we've seen in Redmond, the examples. I keep thinking of, I think they call it the Kimball Creek area. Mm-hmm. I just think of it as the subway across from the fire station in Snoqualmie, where they kind of have this mixture where some of the properties are straight on single family residences. Others have the ability to have business on the ground floor, and there's living space up above. And then you have the more traditional commercial and then services. Mm-hmm. But they kept it pretty small. It's your quick in and out kind of places, mm-hmm. coffee shops, subways, it's doctor's offices. And that's sort of how I'm envisioning it, mm-hmm. in that area. And I don't know that I like that, given that we have this undeveloped area around it. There's quite a bit of blue that doesn't really have anything going on yet, and it's expanding that. At the same time, the fact it's right there isn't necessarily a good thing. That road is not one that you're going to want to cross, mm-hmm. just for fun, unless you like playing chicken with cars.
The plan in the transportation plan is to have a roundabout at that intersection, I believe, isn't it?
Not at the Mount Si Road. There's a proposal.
I thought Ron told me that. Yeah, exit 32, which is the 436. Is that right here?
But 32, yeah. That's further out. That's past it.
Sorry, yeah.
Because you're talking about Mount Si Road, right?
Yeah. So I believe he had it in his plan to put a roundabout here, which would lower the speed limit.
doesn't necessarily make it safe. Oh. Have you ever watched someone trying to cross the road there?
If it's 35 miles an hour and it's a lighted crossing, it's the same.
They play slingshot through that thing, if we want to get real about that. So it's still kind of taking your life in your own hands. So I don't necessarily think that's a good thing. My other concern is that we have single-family residential, low-density residential across the road, and I think that there would become a concern about the buffer on that side, if we're talking about high-density residential with a narrow road, and what kind of response that's going to get, whether or not we'll see a lot of pushback from people who don't want an apartment complex plopping down across the street from their house that they've paid, you know, $500,000 or more for.
But that could happen in the current zone, right?
With the current zones?
Yeah, they can have up to 30%.
30%
multifamily. Mm-hmm.
So not quite as in your face. So I think that kind of at the concept level, I like the idea of there being more multifamily residential. And that does seem like a good spot to put it with that target market of the person who doesn't want to buy a house, wants to be out here close to the outdoor recreation. I'm not completely sold on the idea of commercial on the bottom floor. Not maybe services. The dry cleaner, coffee shop, that kind of thing. It was very limited so that we didn't see the kind of competition elsewhere. But then that turns around and whether or not it would pencil out for somebody who was going to come in and do a project.
The roads would have to be wider. I mean, just trying to take my kids to school down that road already or coming home, it's already terrible as it is.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of infrastructure.
I'd be curious with the buffers that they would be required to do if someone did put, you know, a condo complex that was four stories high there, what we'd be looking at in terms of actual usable space in that area. I see, at least from here, a number of small lots. So it's similar to, I think, the situation that's causing problems downtown, which is in order to build, you have to be able to buy multiple locations.
Mm-hmm.
And that pushes your price up and whether or not it then makes sense. I do like the idea of getting multifamily residential and some more of residential development outside of the special flood hazard area. It lets us push our numbers up without taking on more risk. So I'm sitting on the fence a little bit. I'm just not quite sure about putting more commercial in that area. I'd really have to see how much we could limit it, if there would be a way to limit it specifically to reduce competition with the things you can put in other areas. But at that point, is it really useful commercial space to offer that option? And then what we'd be talking about in terms of buffers. So a green concept, not sure about execution, is a summary.
Mm-hmm. I think we would really, if we were going to create a new zone, have to detail it out, and I don't know what that process would look like, to do that. My fear of doing like a downtown commercial zone there, which would allow for this type of development, is that it's limited in what uses, and then it would directly compete with having multiple downtowns. So I think I would like to see this be more service-oriented and the quick in-and-out businesses. I would encourage the larger buffers that would allow you to landscape with our native trees in front of to screen the building, right? So all of those things and points, I agree with 100%. I think that its look and feel should be that it's a North Bend look and feel. It's not.
I'll have the railway as a buffer, right? All that property, right?
Yeah.
We'll be able to develop on that.
Valley Trail?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's eventually envisioned that the city will purchase that and construct a trail.
Yeah.
Which creates a different relationship. Then you don't have the... We would want limited access, which maybe would be challenging for commercial, depending on how you design.
So it limits where they would be able to enter and leave the property.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, for example, the proposal for the cottages, they were coming in just off Cedar Falls Way, did not have any access to the crossing.
See, and that puts more, and here's where I think that we'd be hearing from the people that have already been impacted by the additional traffic from the development that's going in. If we were putting something in there, I mean, I don't know how many people that they could have living in there, how many cars we're talking about. But at least it's not very far to drive before they get to the major turn. But that's that much more traffic on a road that may not be equipped.
Well, there's a lot of capacity on Cedar Falls Way.
Like, is this actually a trail or just an
right now it's
abandoned
a
railroad grade?
Abandoned railroad property.
Yeah.
Or not abandoned.
They own it.
Yeah. They just don't manage to have
it. Yeah, but it's abandoned from its historic use.
Yeah. And the city has purchased it down in the downtown area.
Yeah.
And we are working on, eventually, working on assembling the titles to the different pieces of it for an eventual purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's primary to gain access across it, right?
No, it's for trail purposes.
Really?
That's the intent of the
question. Why would anybody walk along this highway when they have the trail right over here?
It's a different service, so that Spokane Valley Trail is more of a recreational, and this would be to access those properties to allow people to have access downtown.
So it would be access and not necessarily a trail purpose, but it's for access onto North Bend Way. Is that what you're saying?
Access to downtown for pedestrians and bicycles. Yeah.
So it would be pedestrian.
Yeah,
not bicycles.
Right.
Which actually answers one of the transportation. How do we get people from there downtown?
Mm-hmm.
And then it runs through the park. Is that?
It comes up to the intersection with the Spokane Valley Trail, and that's when it would end. It doesn't continue.
So if we changed it to just HDR plain,
mm-hmm.
and you had a proposal to, that somebody wanted to come in, do four stories, and have the bottom four commercial, what would be the process?
Commercial wouldn't be allowed in the HDR zone. So there's the potential that you could do a small overlay if you were interested in a certain area to allow for commercial.
Why aren't these business zone properties good enough to handle the needs of these people in here?
Neighborhood business is an expanded commercial use that I wanted to kind of limit. That is the oil change one. Is that correct?
Well, no, the neighborhood business zone is our broadest zone. It allows a huge number of different uses. So it allows retail, it allows residential, single-family and multifamily residential, and then more of those auto-related uses, too.
So I was looking at professional services, mm-hmm. coffee shops, you know, food.
Which are also allowed in
the blue zone.
And you're talking about the hardcore trail guys, you know, taking off and going into downtown North Bend for their overland trek. I would think they'd hover right around this area if they had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going into the Mountside camps or
the Middle Fork.
You know, all these trails are more central here if you had a.
Well, you can access Snake. You can go to Rattlesnake Ridge if you're living out in this area.
Yeah.
Because then you can hop on that trail and find your way up to the ridge as well. So
yeah.
Or out here.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to.
Somewhere
I think
over.
Yeah. You know, this could become a recreational.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential in that
area for those kind of.
And the city has performance standards to protect the character of that intersection, requiring a plaza at the intersection with future development, and then also limiting industrial uses mm-hmm. on that property, so that if they have an industrial use, it has to be fronted by commercial or retail uses.
Set back quite a bit.
Yeah.
And see, and that's important, because that goes into the other thing. I mean, that's our biggest draw, if you will, is that port, exactly to your point, Gary. So, in one level, we have to be, I think, really conscious of how we lay that land out. I mean, a lot of due diligence, methodical thinking, not only just from, you know, the commercial draw and all of those economic implications, but just the aesthetic implications as well. Because if we kill that as a nice, beautiful entry point, we may start threatening traffic to that area. Not to say that the hotel or motel or whatever that place is now is doing a great job of that. Thankfully, we have a cute little coffee shop across the street that attracts the eye there. But
it adds character.
It does. The bridge is wonderful. I'm of the mind to not do it for all the points that we've just been talking about.
But would not well, do what? The commercial or the whole?
Yeah, to rezone it.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think I'm kind of feeling that too, at least at this point.
And I'm a little bit further away. I really don't think we should have commercial there, but I'm not opposed to a higher density in that area. I just think it needs to be very carefully done. And I think that, is it 30%?
Mm-hmm.
I did say. And that is, I don't know if we can do an overlay that would allow a little bit more in that area.
Wouldn't have to be an overlay. That could just be an amendment to the cottage standards.
And that could be something on a needs-based, right? If something, developer comes forth and there's interest
council
in that.
Could consider.
Council could do that.
Yeah.
Like that. So we're not shackling them to any.
How are we on capacity with what we changed in LDR? That's one question.
Mm-hmm.
Our capacity in terms of our growth targets, our residential growth target is so low that it's not going to have an effect.
It's not. Okay. So one of the reasons why I'm pushing for this is I think that it's important to show how we want the city to look 7 years from now and to guide that development. When you talk about the importance of that area and the focus of it, I don't understand why one side of the street has that care taken to it and the other side hasn't, and I think this is our opportunity to take the time and do that. I'm just not sure about how to go about it properly. So if we can, you know, take a lot of what Elizabeth and I think I share as my concerns to make it in such a way that it is aesthetically pleasing and it accomplishes a lot of the goals that I think are important that are going to have a an attractive place for people to live as well as to have a launch point for them to recreate in. Other than that,
the aesthetics of the product are a function of the city's design standards, whether it be the residential design standards for multifamily or for the commercial design standards for commercial development. What the Planning Commission should be thinking more overall on is what is the product that you want to see in this area.
Mm-hmm. I think what maybe you're talking about, maybe I haven't heard it, you say it, but I just got a vision in my head that this outside corner has the potential of becoming very large rather than being open. You know, the intersection, I think, needs to be low level, low profile, and maybe build up away from it, but there needs to be a center part of that intersection that needs to be low level, or you're going to lose that welcoming feeling into the trail system, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever we do there, that would be part of the aesthetics, is to keep within, say, a radius of 300 feet at minimum, you know, a lower profile of structural development, whether that be, you know, single-story restaurants, whatever, but we don't build up 3 or 4 stories in all the intersections. We've got to protect that.
I guess one thing I just can't mentally get over is, if you're 12 years, which really isn't that long, nothing has ever happened there. And it's really disappointing. Like, how do we make that attractive? I know in past conversations, the thoughts that I have is there's so many people that seem to pass through that area and then just shoot away. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to have a magnet I don't know what it is. You know, is this, you know, is this where you run into, you know, the competition between Washington and South Carolina, and we're throwing all these, you know, tax write-offs at whatever business shows interest in locating there? You know, I don't know. How do we make it attractive to somebody? You know, is it that way, or is it just, is it another way? I don't know.
Are we incent to try to figure out a way to maximize the potential of the area that's already zoned with the broader zoning, the blue space, right? Because that's already earmarked for that potential. We already have design standards in place that can protect that intersection. It can be far more welcoming than it is, but, you know, as somebody who protects, believes in property owner rights, I mean, those people who own this property, they're going to do what they're going to want to do with it. So unless we can find something, to your point, some other way to incent them to either sell, lease, build, or do something.
That's actually an argument for higher density residential across the street, as much as I think that road is incredibly dangerous. If you have the population there that's going to walk across the street to get a cup of coffee, to run into, you know, hopefully not this, but the 7-Eleven style store that has a little bit of milk and wine and beer and that kind of thing, you might see a little bit of development on that end. But we have to wonder, right now when people drive, I've spent a lot of time just driving around lately, and the thing that gets my, I come into the city, and because I have a very good imagination, I wipe from my brain that I know this place. And I come in and I'm going, would I know where the heck I am? What is it that I see? And that's one of the intersections that is the, okay, where is everything? Mm-hmm. You see, you luck out, you see the trail sign, you know where that is, kind of. But there's not a whole lot else there to tell you that if you go this way, you're going to find restaurants and, you know, Boxley's with their jazz music. Or if you go this way, you're going to end up in Trucker Heaven. So there's just not anything there to tell you when you come in. And it starts from the, when you come in off the freeway, there's interesting looking houses off this way. There's trees and kind of nothing over here. You can sort of see some houses. So there's just not a whole lot of that particular entry into the city. So if you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to find it there. And that's where there's something there that, you know, a shop. We've got some great stores that cater to the outdoors. There was that kind of store down there, for example. Something that screams, you have reached the great outdoors. But again, that pulls from a downtown retail club. But so I guess this brings me back to kind of being a little bit more okay about more than cottage residential across the street, because it may give us a little bit of a population boost. But we may see that naturally from all of the additional low-density residential that's going in right. That area.
And that's an excellent point. What I keep going back to is the amount, the volume of traffic that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
So hundreds of people every day. I myself am just like you. Why is it anything here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if increasing that or changing the zoning would actually stimulate that. I mean, not to say that it wouldn't. I don't know. I'd like to think it would, but at the same time, I don't know. And I still go back to, we have a nucleus downtown. We need to concentrate on that area. We have other areas throughout our neighborhood throughout our downtown area that we should really be concentrating on. I like the idea of the cottage living down there. It makes sense to me. The city council already boosted it. We got to see what effect there will be there, right? If there's suddenly a great demand, then it makes sense to maybe revisit it. But those, I think, to what you were considering, Gary, at least on one level, the city council has already moved forward on that. So to me, I feel like
they boosted it to 30%.
Right.
That doesn't allow you to just do standalone multifamily.
So yeah.
That's the other question, too.
Yeah.
That would be a change to the zone. Then.
Yeah, no, that's why. For me, no. Not yet.
Well, there's just no question that we don't have sufficient affordable housing. And whether or not that's the place to do it. But, you know, looking at the map, there aren't that many places for us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
that makes sense. That actually makes sense now that I recognize that we have this lovely trail that will eventually go into downtown. You have a safe pathway for people who are pedestrian or bicycle dependent, foot or bicycle dependent, to be able to get into the downtown core to go to KFC. And believe me, I have seen people on the side of that road coming from, I guess it's the Mountai Mobile Home Park, taking their life into their hands with their sacks of groceries because we don't have an adequate bus system out here or public transportation. So leaning a little bit more toward, I'm not completely opposed to making changes, but I don't want to see commercial.
Just as I've heard a lot about public transportation out here, and somebody who lives way on the east side of town has ridden his bike a few times to downtown, I don't see it as necessarily a burden as much as it is as it's why I live here, is to walk and bike. I think that if you work in Seattle, the hour and 45 minute bus ride is not something that you do more than once. Just carpooling works much better. So I'm fine leaving it as is. I'd hope that we don't revisit this in a docket or, you know, when we have a purchaser proposal, that we do it as a spot zone. I'm looking at it, and I don't think cottage residential is necessarily what I think the area should develop as. I think it should have a certain introduction to the city, and we ought to spend some time developing that. So I guess I should take it on myself to figure out how that should go with the staff.
Well, we got to figure out how to get all these people here to change, because this is a great gateway. Oh, awesome. I'll just keep going. What the heck is going on? I'm going to turn out here.
I think I saw all there is to see, right? Just like here.
Oh, North Bend. Oh, that must be it. I'll turn around.
You know, maybe it's the anchor, maybe it's the start, finding a place to do it. You know, that's, I thought, a good spot to do it.
Yeah.
Give me a vision of cottage, exteriors. What are they?
Very small single-family homes. So there's a lot of cottages in Seattle now, cottage developments in Shoreline. I think there's some in Kirkland.
Are they single-story? Are they multi-story?
They can be either. John Day Homes is working on his cottage development. John Day's products is a little different from what is typically envisioned as a cottage development. His is more along the lines of detached townhomes. So it's a two-story product, but they've got side yards.
And their square footage up to?
Up to 1,700, I think.
And so a large cottage. Do you
agree? Cottage.
Up to eight.
Yeah.
And for every house over 2,300 square feet, you have to build one under.
Yeah. There's that trade-off. If you wanted to do a conventional single-family home, you had to do smaller cottages on the other end of it as well.
So you can have a McMansion next to.
Actually, up to 10 units per acre cottages.
Is there one of the detached townhome products that they built up at the Ridge that anyway approximates that?
Quadrant did cottages, mm-hmm. small cottages, in different areas of Snoqualmie Ridge.
I'm just thinking so that someone could drive through and get a visual of what that looks like when it's done.
Up to phase two of Snoqualmie Ridge, mm-hmm. up towards the top of the parkway, and turn as you're going up towards 18.
Mm-hmm.
And turned left into the last intersection in Snoqualmie Ridge, which I had a computer.
Jacobia.
Yeah. Then just on your right after you enter that neighborhood, you'd see a cottage development. And I don't remember what the size of the Centex townhomes were, or Centex, I think they called them cottages in Snoqualmie, but those are the older ones. They were built around 2001, 2003.
That's like
but those type of homes, those type of homes are, sounds like they're built near the, closer to the arterials.
Generally, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Providing a buffer for the larger single family homes in more interior to that. So they're, mm-hmm. They're taking up the traffic buffer.
And I think
buffer.
Most of them are treated as condominium associations, if mm-hmm. I remember correctly. That's the way that they were set up.
Is it
but it's a good example of what it looks like when it's done.
Jacobia.
You know, you're going to what?
J-A-C-O-B-I-A.
You're not going to be putting any single-family homes on North Bend Way. I mean, that's just not going to happen. No one's going to want to buy near that noise.
Yeah. Well, that's
there are
what's
some people that have
today.
Voluntarily done that. They set it back a little bit, but if you drive out there, there's a couple houses that have been built in the last 10, 15 years.
So that's, you know, something I'm not even thinking of. That's the current zone of cottage homes, and that's what's proposed for that area. So my thought is that infill, if there's an area that, you know, you can't develop to have a cottage, you know, reside there, but not as the center of such an important area.
Well, I guess the other thing, too, is when I'm thinking of cottage homes and kind of that space, especially in that area, it adds to a charm to an area as opposed to being overbuilt, too many apartments, commercial, stuff like that. And so if I was a visitor to this area and saw something like that, where there are a lot of these cute little homes, maybe some are two-story, maybe some are one-story, and a limited amount of maybe multifamily in there, that to me would be, oh, this is cute. Yeah, I could fantasize about moving here, right? Those type of things. So I think about the psychology of that. And, you know, I've been around a few places and I've seen that type of setting. And I've also seen, let's build every building we can here because people want to come to this lake or that mountain. So let's just, you know, so I don't know.
Is this Google Earth?
Mm-hmm.
Or how do you go into Street View then? Because there's the development.
Layers. What do you want? Not satellite, just street?
Street view, yeah. So just drag it into street view there.
Sorry.
I'm still not seeing street view.
So I think you actually do want satellite on because you want to see the picture, right?
Well, I want to go into...
Yeah,
so
the
Google
Earth's got
street view where you're actually on the street with photographs. Yeah.
I know how to do it on a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just drag the dude down.
Houston.
Yeah. Please, man.
Gives you an idea of the top. But no, I actually know what it looks like. It was kind of to get people thinking kind of question. I spend a lot of time driving around this valley, so.
I look at it different being on the planning commission than I do just, you know, oh, that's such a cute yard. But...
Mine is usually if that tree is a little too close.
Not like in spot zoning. I take the whole, you know, swath of lots.
That's another opportunity, though, if you wanted to divide it and do some of it multifamily, some of it cottage.
So if I took...
up against the
city.
There
we go.
The green there is the public works, right?
Yes. So if I take this corner, which I see as more the intersection that should be cared after, does that change anything?
So that change that to multifamily there?
No, keep this as it is and change this to the special zone.
Wait a minute, am I off by that? I thought that the freeway came in one over.
That's right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is Mount Side Road right here.
I think here's where your circle goes.
They could all go.
It's slowing down the traffic.
It's not
slowing
that
traffic.
It's not that
bringing
area.
The traffic down right into this neighborhood, going out this way instead of coming down here.
The address would be.
Bring the circle right here. So
when we get to the transportation plan.
Thank you, see it on satellite view.
But Ron had it in for a circle here because
you know, just such the volume, I was suggesting, why wouldn't we do a traffic light? But we don't have any traffic lights in the city, so if we put a traffic light there, we have to hire an engineer and somebody to maintain.
And honestly, the traffic lights, we have so much wind out here. Why not put in the circle that doesn't require power mm-hmm. and have it work all the time
yep.
versus having a light?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion. I'm hoping to narrow it down.
I know.
All right.
My intersections.
Do we want to start with the commercial issue, come to a consensus or decision on that, and then go to the high-density residential versus cottage issue?
I've heard a good consensus. What I feel is that no one is supporting commercial outside the downtown core except myself. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would clarify, more commercial than we already have in that general area, because
right.
it's right across the street.
Let's go to the street view right there.
Even though it's cheaper.
And I think changing it to just high-density residential isn't really going to put us in the direction that we... in any direction that we envision it to be, to want to go in.
Gary, does your vision also include this?
No.
That's
and that's got a proposal on it.
Okay. Are those condominiums in there?
It's cottage. It's going to be.
I know, but it's homes. It's a cottage development.
There.
So that's the detached townhome type of mm-hmm. product where they're cottages. They meet the mm-hmm. definition of our cottage zone.
Yeah.
But they're two-story, mm-hmm. narrow.
And all this is going to be single-family homes as it's currently zoned. So this is our only option for any other
yeah.
HDR.
Isn't that a real special flood hazard area?
This is, yeah.
So is he elevating this part of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It adds to the cost. It makes it a little bit less attractive for someone to come in and build when they're going to have to do that. It's a little bit pricier to do.
All right, so... can't get in there. Proposed, not supported, so do we take it off?
That's up to the Planning Commission.
I'll start. I think where I'm sitting right now is that this may be one that if we had to do a spot zone would be appropriate. I don't know that, I do like the idea of high density residential there, but again, my concern is that we're going to, it's a big change from single family here to high density there versus single family to cottage, even though there'd be some multifamily in there. And I, absent of a specific proposal to put something in there that would work, I just don't think any change right now would be coming, at least in my opinion.
Just go around.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss. I don't feel super passionate about it one way or the other.
I'll just echo Elizabeth's thoughts on that. I take the same position.
Dick?
Well, Gary, I'm leaning more your way. I do like your suggestion that we condense, make this a commercial corner. Is that what you're saying? Or what are you saying to do right here?
I'm saying that that ought to have the same overlay that is across the street
yeah.
in its care and consideration, or we ought to create one similar.
And then these remain cottage. Is that right? Are both these cottage zones?
They are today, yeah.
Yeah.
So those are, just to give you an example of what is there currently.
Yeah.
Does that one have a little bit better?
This is a church right here.
It's the church.
And then there's one or two homes.
This is where we've got this range.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
My lot's a flag lot right over here. Go like this and over. It's really bizarre.
Well.
Well, without consensus, then, we'll take it off.
Shit. Yeah. All right. Is that the consensus without consensus?
Yeah.
The non-consensus.
I think that reflects the mood of the community, too. I think that something needs to be done, but...
not sure what.
Yeah. I know we have two high-speed arterials there that converge into a circle, and that whole thing, I think if they were to switch those to one-way streets, you might even have a better idea to how to plan that out. But you got two...
That's how it used to be.
Is that how it used to be? North Bend Way was
one. Or whatever. The
North Bend Way was it.
Out of town.
Yeah. So it changes, you know, things in terms of how you get on the roads. But we do need low cost, affordable housing. That would be a place to do it. But I don't want to see the commercial impacted as much as I think it would be if we put a downtown commercial out in this area here. It'd be a problem.
And Mike, why wasn't the neighborhood business zone that was across the street done over here with the same overlay? You're saying
probably based on just existing
standards.
What's there now. So this is
the Grange there. That's, well, where do we really put them? It's a social.
Yeah, the Grange is like allowed in
like a community type
different zones. The social hall.
Mm-hmm. That was my best idea.
It's a good idea. It's not. I don't think anybody would disagree with you that the concept or the idea itself was just.
And I do think the general consensus is that higher density could work better. The question is how to do it in a way that works in that area, and whether adding the commercial would detract from development in other areas.
Mike, what's high-density residential setbacks? Do you know?
Setbacks from, yeah, I can look that up.
Street, front.
Front setback, high-density residential, 10 feet.
Something like 80.
10 feet doesn't seem a whole lot.
It doesn't seem like much, does it?
No. Well, minimum. It can go beyond that.
It's one thing when you're in the downtown area. It's another thing when you're talking about a lot like this, and that's why I'm thinking that we have to have something specific.
Well, that's, again, you've got the trail corridor, so 10 foot off of there.
Because we've got a
single-family
residential community on the other side of the road.
And I'd want it landscaped so it was, you know, blended.
Kind of coming from nowhere, not much.
And if you could put 2 cedar trees, that changes how things look.
Well, no, that trail.
Yeah, yes.
That's a. Is that 100-foot right of way in there? Usually, railroads are half of 100-foot right of way.
Yeah, it probably is 100 feet. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell just at this scale, but...
Yeah. Usually railroad grades are 60 to 100, depending on slope. There's no slope there, so it's probably narrowed down to 60, but... Mm-hmm. So that'd be a nice setback.
Well, that one trail, I know, is 100, so yeah. That looks like it's probably a 60 there.
Yeah. So if you didn't provide access on the North Bend Way, but just simply had that as an inaccessible line, putting the traffic down this way... Mm-hmm.
And then you could just, sorry, go ahead.
I'd like to find a way to get you what you're talking about. To get to. Oh,
okay. Well, and actually that argument of pushing the traffic onto Cedar, that actually reduces my leaning toward maybe commercial, because I think that it pushes commercial traffic onto what is essentially a residential road. even though it is a major arterial, it is residential. So that could be a potential issue, because then if it's going out the other way, you have traffic going through in an area that is intended to eventually become a pedestrian trail. And that's doable. I mean, we see it in downtown, right there on Ballarat, that the lovely brick.
So but the interest is to minimize crossings.
Exactly.
Safe.
So that's kind of a...
So I'm almost hearing a strong support for high-density residential. And I'm wondering if we propose high-density residential as the change, and then we can do an overlay if the need arises for commercial ground floor. And
you're talking about later on is something.
Overlay for setbacks, for landscaping requirements, for height, everything, you know, so we can then have more time to talk about what that should look like. Or we have to do that before you want to propose the change.
No. What you're considering right now is what should the underlying zone be. The bulk and dimensional standards and performance standards are in the zoning code, and that could happen later on.
So then I'd like to ask the Planning Commission, should that entire area as I proposed it, which would be from 436 to the municipal lot, be changed to HDR or a portion of it, and the rest remain downtown, cottage?
I would object to doing the entire area. I think it's highly unlikely the church is going to give up that lot anytime soon.
Yeah.
So we might as well.
Yeah.
Include it all. It seems consistent to do that.
Now, within HDR, can you have, is that with the 30% cottage? Like, is that
you can do cottages in the HDR zone.
Okay.
But if you're in the cottage zone, you can only do up to 30% HDR.
Up to 30% HDR in the cottage zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see. So this should allow more up variety.
Yeah.
Technically an up zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll make the proposal then to change that from proposed new zone to just straight HDR.
I guess I just don't see the full benefit of that. I really don't.
So I would say this primary benefit in that is that you're increasing the supply of potentially affordable housing. The primary detriment is it's going to change the character of the neighborhood, which particularly the single-family residential across the street would have concerns about.
Right, and that's why I struggle with doing that, because there are already homes going in that area. There are people that live there. We should take that into consideration. I mean, obviously, this all goes to the public anyways, but... The cottage zoning and the upage of HDR within that zone made sense to me. It does allow for a mixed use. It's controlled, essentially. And to your earlier point, Elizabeth, it is a nice transition from what you see there. So flipping that zoning around, I just don't see it at this time as, from my perspective, as the right move.
Most of the homes on that, these residences here, don't even face Cedar Falls. They're facing inward or away from that road. I can't think of one home that has a front yard except for closer down towards 436 where they do have.
And that's a good point. I think the other part of it, though, is that it's a rural character, right? So I live outside of town, let's say, out that area. There's just something more about concentrating more people into the outer rims that it just strikes me as maybe not right. Which is why I understand the original zoning and why I supported the original zoning and made sense to me.
The narrowness of that strip doesn't allow real opportunities for LDR. Can't see how it would. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of pinched into a situation where you're going to use that for our high-density inventory, which we have not much in our community, do we?
No, we don't.
And it puts high density on two heavily traveled roads, which is what you want to do. You want to get people in and out as quick as possible. So that's where you put it.
And I think just from the perspective looking at that, and if we look at proper buffers on both sides to screen that area, the first thing people see when they turn down that road anyway is the big church. Mm-hmm. So it's probably going to actually end up looking a lot more inviting because there are going to be pretty trees and landscaping around it, whatever they end up doing. It gives them more opportunity. And I think that it's going to help that commercial area across the street to become more than just empty space with a few businesses.
So if the concern is transition to the low-density residential, you could come back to those performance standards and beef up your rear landscape buffer, for instance, to preserve the existing vegetation.
Mm-hmm. So that when you drive down that road, it still looks pretty much the way it does. But we have an opportunity to put more affordable housing into play in an area that's outside of the special flood hazard area. It hits a lot of the buttons of what we need and kind of where some of my concerns are, which is we see people that work for us who can't afford to live in the valley, who don't want to live in the flood zone and end up moving out of the valley or up in onto the ridge, if they could afford it up there, to get away from this. Or, you know, Rock Creek Ridge only holds so many people, and it's a certain, you have to have a certain income to be able to live there. So it's the opportunity to maybe get something a little bit more affordable with a mix of cottage, hopefully. Since I think that you mentioned there's a project that's already been discussed. Mm-hmm. So that we have a community that it's not isolated apartments, that it's more of a mix.
Well, that's where I think it would eventually go, is it would just be a whole strip of apartments.
So that's where you could also come back to within the cottage zone if you wanted to up that 30%. That'd be another way to get there.
No, I can see it becoming a strip of apartments. I don't see that as a good thing. I mean, I understand the need to have affordable housing, for sure.
Yeah, but if your interest is a mix,
yes.
Right now the cottage zone requires cottage to do some multifamily.
Yes, exactly. That's why I think the current one actually satisfies all those needs and is accommodating for any developer that wants to come in. I mean, we already have cottage interests going there, so there is something going in the right direction on that front. And since we have 30%, it can be more multifamily, then it just seems to me like that's a good fit, right? As opposed to just turning it around.
So, Curtis, did you have any thoughts you want to add?
No, I mean, I like the versatility of the upzone.
So I heard one concern was concentrating people outside the city downtown. I think about the need for high density or for multifamily uses, and we have so much LDR everywhere, and we don't have but one exit to use downtown. So I think spreading some of the capacity out is wise to do and provides them access in a short way to an interstate system. The other comment was, I think a cottage development is not slated on the area that is up for proposal. That's on a different one.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, that's back.
Not here, but
back
here.
In that corner.
Okay.
But
there is
lot.
A pre-application.
Right. That's what I was referring to.
Isn't
which
that
is
where the church?
So in HDR with 30% capacity of cottage,
I think still I want to visit performance standard, because I think looking at HDR in the downtown core mm-hmm. versus HDR outside the downtown core mm-hmm. should look and feel different. And so we'll get to those, right?
Let's say
or we'll get to the performance standards, or no?
That could be a part of the Planning Commission's recommendation.
So,
is the way there a way for us to know the potential of the number that could be housed, leaving it as is versus that up zone?
So up to 10 units per acre cottage, and then high density residential is harder to determine because it's not based on a simple density, but there's other factors that go into it.
Living units.
You could conceivably do up to 21 units per acre, but you also have to meet your open space requirements, your stormwater requirements, parking requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So those are going to be limiting factors. So really it's probably more about, I don't know, 15 units per acre.
With our water table?
Or those 20
out on the side of town, it's deeper.
Michael, mm-hmm. what, are these 20s in here?
Mm-hmm.
20s?
That close to the water table is still pretty high.
Yeah, I don't know what size those are.
It's still within that area.
These are acres here.
70 feet there.
It would be interesting to find out what the state is, but I think it's still relatively
small.
350.
Oh.
So let's just say this is 15 acres. So if you got 20 acres, you're going to get
20 people there.
10 times 10, 10 times
800.
Of the 20 acres, 10 of that's going to have structure and the rest will be. So.
So it boggles my mind, why hasn't this been developed when we have so many other proposals on the lot, lots around town?
Probably because of where it is.
This is being developed. This is being developed. Is that what your question is?
Yeah. Why didn't these get purchased?
It's kind of like if you're building between highways.
I really think in that area in particular, being right on the road is kind of the kiss of death right now because of what's across the street in many cases and the fact that you have that high traffic there. When you can go somewhere where you have a little bit of buffering from both the sound of the freeway and that road going back and forth. That's where people choose to go.
So that supports a lot of what, Dick, you were saying with high density and what you were saying with high density. It's, you know, a good location.
It buffers that noise, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So to move us along, any final comment? Okay.
Are you coming to a motion then? Or?
Yeah, so I'm going to propose that my initial proposal for a new zone is straight to high-density residential. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
You're abstaining, Curtis?
No,
he said
okay.
It's so, a squeak out as an aye.
Okay, so four approved, one against, and the motion carries.
And then note to self to have us talk about performance.
Then I do need to excuse myself. I was planning on meeting somebody in about 5 minutes.
Any final comments?
No, so thank you.
Good work.
What we'll do is notice those property owners then of the proposed change, the potential change, and you guys will hear from the public. So
yep.
I guess to say about this.
Next week.
Awesome. Okay.
I guess our next week.
One final comment. I didn't realize it until this morning in talking to my cousin. My Aunt Nancy sat on this planning commission at one time.
I'll be there.
Nancy died on Tuesday, Veterans Day, and she was a longtime volunteer for many organizations in the Valley. Loved this place, and wanted to put her stamp and do what I'm trying to do now. Kind of, I think, a family thing. She married into the family, but it's a Gildersleeve thing, to try and really see what we can do for the community. So if everyone can just take a moment, I'm not going to make you pray. To think on her and to remember the time that she's been here trying to help.
What was her name, Nancy?
Nancy Gildersleigh, my Uncle Bill's wife.
And when did she serve?
I didn't get the exact years. They couldn't remember. They just remember lots of long meetings and lots of complaints she had.
It was the 70s at some point.
Probably. Yeah. And she also, back when we had the little hut for the visitor center, it was sort of the Alpine motif. She ran that place for many years. Mm-hmm. When the heat was a little plug-in heater she brought from home, and the AC was a tiny little fan she stuck in the window and kind of did this as she sat in there through the hot summer. So lots of involvement in our community, and she's going to be missed by me. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing.
You always did.
Everyone keeps asking me. I hated for people to know, so I'm honoring that.
I'm going to write a note to Roseanne Semp and tell her. I'm sure she'll.
Oh, she'll want that.
Yeah. So before you all leave, we still need a motion to adjourn.
Oh, I thought.
No. Anything else for good of the order? No? I'll entertain a motion then.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Nice.